Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to see from Miya University in Japan how ginger shows bone protective properties. That's terrific. That can help a lot of people prevent osteoporosis. And from Hacettepe University in Turkey, how mindfulness meditation improves quality of life in heart attack survivors. And let's face it, anyone who's had a heart attack or cancer or diabetes, they live each day with a fear, what if it comes back? What if it gets worse? What if I die? So mindfulness can help that. From Beijing University of Chinese Medicine comes a study about traditional Chinese medicine that alters brain pathways to alleviate anxiety-like behavior. I'll tell you what that formula is. And electricity could help speed wound healing, according to Ohio State University. The electrical impulses can help vessels more quickly get healing agents to injuries. And that's important also. And there's a lower risk of brain injury for at-risk infants whose mothers consume pomegranate juice, Brigham and Women's Hospital. And there's more. Also today, we're going to hear about an upcoming event. I'll be participating in it remotely by Zoom, but I'll be there. And I'll give you more on that, so you might want to take some notes on this worldwide demonstration about our freedom of choice. I'm a big believer in freedom of choice. And that's why even with my friends and family, I never harp at them or criticize them for their, let's say, choices of eating things I wouldn't. It's their right. Of course, they also have to realize sooner or later there's going to be some type of unfortunately breakdown. But we're going to learn about freedom of choice, and it's going to be, I think, a very powerful demonstration. I really would hope that everyone in this audience who can participate. Now, I'm going to have mine on Zoom, so there'll be an audio and video, plus all the speakers are going to be filmed. And the emphasis is going to be more about not big names in the field, even though a lot of people wanted to lecture. But isn't it better to hear from people, just regular people, not scientists, not experts in the field, but boy, they're expert about what happens when they have a vaccine that they believed in, and then you have a negative result, and no one wants to acknowledge that. So we're gonna talk about that. Also, today, we will take a look, and I want to start with this before I go into everything. Chris Hedges, I didn't get to his commentary yesterday, bandaging the corpse. I think you'll find it of interest. But also, I want to add some additional lawsuits on to the ones that were shared last week concerning Pfizer, and that just on a ethical or moral basis, would I trust a serial offender, someone who has the money, the deep pockets to pay off any of the lawsuits to compensate victims, but doesn't learn a single lesson and keeps doing the same thing over and over and over over decades? And we prove that in an article. You can download the article from GaryNull.com. By the way, that site now has hundreds of articles and documentaries and videos. And it's free. Everything in the way of all information is free, including resources and calls to action. So I'll add on some lawsuits against the big pharma giant Pfizer. So then you have to ask, if I could find all these lawsuits, if Richard Gell could find all these lawsuits, if we could share this with you so you have all these lawsuits, then why haven't you seen a single article criticizing these companies, the products they make, or especially the vaccines, as not being ethical? Could you imagine, reverse it? Let's just say that someone went into the New York Times and said, here's my resume. I'm a serial liar. I cheat. I do everything I can to make a buck. Hire me. What do you think the outcome would be? Well, we know what the outcome would be, because we see in completely honorable people that tell the truth how the New York Times and others now calls them domestic terrorists. They're trying to criminalize any form of criticism towards them or the establishment. That's how far down the rabbit hole we have. So I'm going to talk about that. But also, here's a question for the day. Two questions, and I'll take your calls later on. Why is it that even after exposing massive amounts of illegal or unethical or immoral behavior on the part of these vaccine makers and drug makers, they're always given a free pass? They're never destroyed. They're never dechartered. The people running it never go to prison. They're never called out. They stay heads of major nonprofit foundations. Why? That's one question. Why, if we make a mistake, we're forever pillared by that mistake? If they make a mistake, they fail upwards. Now, this is also something I found of interest. And again, it's just what, and this is not just in one isolated, posh New York City school that wants students to stop using the terms mom and dad because, quote, they're not inclusive enough. So they've been inclusive. They've been fine this whole time, but now they want to change it. They want to change everything. This is a $57,000 a year for a private school, not a college, not a university, just a school. And they had a 12-page inclusive language guide to staff, students, and parents. So you got to stop using the term mom and dad. That's just one of their woke edicts. And think of all the other things now that the woke people are saying. Remember I said 2.5 years ago when I saw for the first time, or 3 years ago, a woman on television saying that you cannot change a baby's diapers unless you get their permission. Otherwise, it's a violation. Somehow you're not respecting the sanctity of that baby, and you're thinking this is insane. How in the world is a baby supposed to tell me whether or not they want their diapers changed? That's that mindset. And then it got worse. You can't hold your loved one's hand. You can't cuddle, even in bed at night when you're sleeping together. You cannot cuddle unless you first get that person's permission. Otherwise, it's a violation, and it goes worse. And that is how it's manifesting. And then it's going everywhere. You can't use the word boyfriend and girlfriend. That's gone. So they're trying, a small group of people are trying to reset the entire way we function and have historically as a society in our interrelationships and other ways that we have evolved. So what do you think? I'd like your opinion. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And also, I'm going to give you a list of places that if for any reason we should be canceled by YouTube. And I have thousands upon thousands of videos up there. We have taken those videos over to other sites. All right, so I'll give you that information as well. And today, I'll give you a few right now. Odyssey, ODYSEE.com, Odyssey.com. Vimeo, VIMEO.com. V as in Victor, IMEO.com. And Brand New Tube, BRAND, Brand New, NEW, Tube, TUBE.com. BrandNewTube.com, Vimeo.com, Odyssey.com, and there are more. But at least this way, you have them. All right? So we have a lot to share, and we'll also be sharing some additional information with you. But we always go to start with the latest on health and healing. According to news originating from TUS Japan, researchers stated osteoporosis, which we know is the most common age-associated bone disease and is caused by hyperactivation of osteoclastic activity. So anyhow, they found that ginger rhizome could suppress receptor activator of nuclear factor kappa B lignin induced osteoclastogenesis in Rawls 2647 cells. In lay language, that's quoting directly from them. In lay language, just means start using ginger in as many ways you can. Ginger sauteed, ginger juiced each day. Always good. You can grow ginger. Easy to grow, grows very quickly. And it's the root that you use. It has a beautiful white flower. And at nighttime, it's a night bloomer, along with jasmine and lavender and lilac and honeysuckle. Honeysuckle in the daytime also. But wow, when I'm walking around the barns at night, I had planted all these aromatics for the animals. But I enjoy it also. And you would too. In fact, making yourself your own botanical aromatic garden in your home, in your apartment, you can do it to scale, or in the backyard. And it's easy to protect in the wintertime, but for at least 9 months a year, you're going to get all that aroma in the evening. And having a bedroom where you have an aromatic garden outside and you leave the window open, oh, wow, put you right to sleep. Now, from another university in Turkey comes another study about mindfulness, mindful meditation. It improves quality of life in heart attack survivors. This was an 8-week program of mindful meditation, and it did improve quality of life and reduce fear in people who had had a heart attack. So, mind you, a heart attack is a life-threatening event, and survivors can suffer from low quality of life and acute anxiety. So this mindful meditation can help get a person past that. Also, in China, they came up with a formula, it's been used for a long time, that can alter brain pathways to alleviate anxiety-like behavior. This was published in the Privy Journal of Biological and Pharmacological Bulletin. And it all deals with the altering the expression of genes involved in the what is called the JNK signaling pathway. But it's been around a long time, and it's now shown, along with acupuncture and moxibustion, to relieve anxiety and depression, and especially following procedures such as placenta transplantation and test tube fertilization. Now, there are 8 different medicinal herbs, namely Chinese thorough, thorow, wax, and also angelica, and angelica, what is called sinensis, or female ginseng, dang qui, dangqui, also white peony, and white atracyclodes, so the in ginger, and Chinese peppermint, and extracts of licorice. And now you can just Google TCM, that's traditional Chinese medicine herbs, as natural antidepressants. So natural, non-toxic way of helping with depression and moods. And it works. And it was published in a peer-reviewed journal. Interesting study from Ohio State University. Now, we know that electric stimulation is able to help blood vessels carry white blood cells and oxygen to wounds. That speeds up healing. We've known that for a long time. In fact, from the 1970s and really took hold in the 1980s, especially the late 80s, we were using it at the Tri-State Healing Center to help people who had AIDS and cancer because of its ability to stimulate the immune system. Now the Royal Society of Chemistry published in their lab, journal Lab on the Chip, found that steady electrical stimulation generates increased permeability across blood vessels, providing new insight into the ways that new blood vessels might grow. And the electrical stimulation provided a constant voltage with an accompanying electric current in the presence of fluid flow. The findings indicate that stimulation increases permeability of the blood vessels, an important characteristic that can help wound healing substances in the blood reach injuries more efficiently. For example, like quercetin, one of the single best things you can take into your body to help that. So, Those are just some of the ways it can help. But boy, electrical stimulation can help people with depression and anxiety, can help bones heal. And also, from Brigham and Women's Hospital, preliminary findings from a randomized controlled trial suggest pomegranate juice may provide neuroprotection in pregnancies, and especially where there are any intrauterine growth restrictions. Now, we know the pomegranate's great for your blood vessels, for your arteries, for the linings, the epithelium. It can help to heal those lesions that can cause breaking and cause clots. It can thin the blood, helping prevent stroke. It's a great immune modulator. It can turn off pain. It's good for your heart. Oh, yeah. Pomegranate's just one of the best of the best. So just try to get pomegranate juice in there. Oh, and by the way, from the David Geffen School of Medicine, they found the topical curcumin gel effectively is treating burns and scalds. That's good. And that was in the journal Biodiscovery. So get yourself a gel, topical gel of curcumin for treating skin problems like burns and scalds. It's very different. And it works effectively. So that is important. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 17 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at some of the things we're not doing right with our society that we could be doing right. And when your calls come in where you'd like to share your points of view, we'll be happy to hear what you have to say. Especially from our woke culture, a tiny group of people that has an inordinate amount of power, especially since the mainstream media fully embraces everything that they're suggesting, whether it makes sense or not. When we don't pay attention to the actual honesty of a problem, the problem never gets better, it gets worse, until one day we're shocked, you know, that there was, you know, the degradation of our topsoil. That's big agriculture. So why aren't we paying attention to big ag? Like Monsanto and its genetic engineering, or Bill Gates, the largest farm owner in the United States, and what he intends to do with that land. I can assure you, it's not planting organic local crops. So these issues are all interrelated, because now we have whole areas of America that are not sustainable, but there's 60 million Americans living in non-sustainable areas in the United States. Why isn't that an important issue? Because when your house gets flooded out, or a hurricane takes away all the land around you because they've gotten rid of the barrier islands and the mangrove forest, so there's no water break, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I've been here for 50 years and I've always had a good view. Now I don't have a view. I'm out in the ocean someplace looking back at the land. I didn't pay attention. That's just one issue, and it's a tiny part of the bigger issue of global warming. We're doing nothing about it in the United States. We should be deaccelerating nuclear proliferation. Instead, we had our Nobel Peace Prize winner, Barack Obama, shortly after receiving his Nobel Peace Prize, invaded or caused regime change in seven countries. One of those countries, as of this morning, because I'm up on all this every day, Syria has 70% severe food shortages, and yet we have a blockade on it. What exactly did Syria do to deserve this? How about nothing? All of the independent investigative journalism by at least seven different sources, including, you know, top sources, Seymour Hersh, have shown that Syria did not use chemical or biological weapons on its own citizens. But we supported terrorists who did. So the White Helmets is a terrorist organization, yet we give them an Academy Award and praise them on alternative media. We didn't, but others do. So we're allowing people to starve to death. Even today, as we speak, just an hour ago, there was a call by some of the more progressive people, or I wouldn't say progressive, I'd say more liberal people in Congress, to call out the Biden administration to stop the sanctions against Yemen. Why? Well, there's 400,000 children starving to death. So children matter in my world. And I don't care how you wrap the argument of why you're allowing those children to die, you're participating in their being killed, either killing through starvation, killing through lack of medicines to treat their diseases, killing through bombings, and knowing that they're taking out all of the infrastructure. They're taking out the hospitals, the water purification plants. Bill Clinton, by the way, did the same thing, and that came out under Freedom of Information Act. But when addressed, why would Bill Clinton want a bombing of the civilian infrastructure, which is a war crime, by the way, and there's no statute of limitations on that. Why did he do it? Because he thought if they put such a big hurt on the average person living in Iraq, they would rebel against Saddam Hussein. Didn't happen. But 500, 600,000 children died because of Madeleine Albright, Hillary and Bill Clinton, and the people in their administration that supported them, and the media that backed them. Anything we doing to stop people dying, the children of dying, 400,000 in these parts of the world today, in Yemen? No, nothing at all. Because it's not in the political, ideological, or financial interests of those who have caused this problem or in their defenders in the media. Because once you start blaming administrations, past and present, for continuing crimes against humanity, then you open up a bigger can of worms. And what about feeding the 16 to 20 million hungry children in the United States? When you're a reporter, when you're a journalist working for any of these major media, you're making hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars a year. You're living in a beautiful apartment or home. You have a large social network. You come from an advanced educated group. You're an elite group, and you know it. There's a conceit and a narcissism that's unbridled. So when did you go out to speak with any of these people and take money out of your own pocket, maybe go to a local store and say, here is a cash card so these people can come in every week for the next 3 months and have food to eat? How about never? For those of us who do actually do that, who feed the homeless every day, we are embarrassed by those who would virtue shame on issues when they are nothing but human shame. But where's the issue? Where's the demonstrations? Where's the woke generation in saying, how cool is it not to support hungry people, not to feed hungry people, homeless people? So when did we do anything about our homelessness except allow it to become a metastasizing sore? Nothing. Zero. So those are just examples of what we should be paying attention to, but we're distracted by woke culture and dialoguing. They have every right to say what they want to say, and we have every right, those of us who disagree with them, to say no. But they're one step ahead of us. They have the power to enact laws. Did you see any of the major media say what I'm telling you right now, that the CDC just reported 1,524 dead, 31,079 injured following experimental COVID RNA vaccines? No, check out Brian Shulhavy on Health Impact News. It was reported just this morning. So, and that's right up through March 5th. Any of that out there? Nothing on that out there. And anyone reporting on it? Well, now you're a domestic terrorist. These are important issues of life and death. And we all, as children, go through stages where we want to be one thing, then another thing. We're uncertain about what we are. It depends upon parental input. We've just had the last generation of parenting, in my personal view, the worst parenting in American history. We've weakened people. We have taken them away from the sense of integrity, character development, meritocracy. And we put them into this void of non-commitment to anything except their own personal desires and needs. Now, you have a right to do that. If you have the money and you have the background and you're a professional person, you can create whatever kind of bubble you want. That's your right, and I will not debate that. Just remember carefully, when you make that into a law that adversely affects everyone else, it should be openly and honestly and intelligently and sensitively debated. Not yelled at, not screamed out, not denounced. Open dialogue. But today, anyone who wants to even debate an issue openly and honestly is shut down and attacked. The cancel culture comes in and says that whatever you're not willing to debate, it's because that's what you are. In which case, then, they cancel that person, even though the person was open to debate. We see that with vaccines. When was the last time you saw Anthony Fauci agree to debate Mary Holland, Professor Mary Holland from NYU, who's now over at the Children's Defense Fund, or Robert Kennedy Jr.? You haven't. And you won't, because they would lose the debate because they don't have the truth on their side. I'll give you one example. Recently, I made a comment that when the actual statistics, in fact, it was yesterday, when the statistics about how much of a difference did wearing masks actually produce, it was 0.3%, 0.5%, 0.7 or 9%, and 1%. Now, as a scientist who has done hundreds of experiments, right now I'm involved in three, and published in peer-reviewed literature, I set my standard, my personal standard, and a lot of other scientists have done the same that I've worked with, at you have to have at least 5% above what you're trying to differentiate to make it statistically significant, but that's not universal. In fact, to the contrary, I'll give you an example, and I wrote about this years ago when I was asked by an oncologist at a major cancer hospital. He said, you know, it's all a game. I said, what? He said, the statistics on these chemotherapy agents were survival. I said, no, I did not know that. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you stuff. Don't use my name. And I didn't. And but he was an MD, PhD, and a top person within the world on cancer. He said, get the actual clinical studies and look at the length of life between the measuring groups, measurable groups. So he got me some studies. And back then there was no computers. So you just had to laboriously read all this. And I started to notice something. With these cancer patients, some of the death dates were like 3 days versus 6 days, or 10 days versus 20 days. Now, mind you, the persons, all these people died, but they might have died 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 days later than someone else. But for them, they published studies saying 100% increase in longevity, survival, I mean. So you think, oh, 100% increase in survival, that's terrific. You mean from 3 to 6 days is terrific? It's not. In my opinion, it's a dismal failure. But they played that measured difference of 0.5 or even less to be statistically significant. And the entire field of epidemiology stood behind that. But what is not accounted for, and a member of our audience, David Leibowitz, is very knowledgeable about this, and he said, remember the general p-value. Now, that means the probability that the same observed result would occur by chance alone of either 0.05 or 0.005. And so it means that the p-value number superficially resembles 0.5% reported in the study. So you cannot say that something has no relevance if they make the relevance so low. And how you know that you're really being played, even though it's within the norms of scientific discovery, is to look at from the opposite position. Always understand the opposite argument if you're trying to find the truth in your existing argument. If you say that this was a great study, that the people who wore masks had a 0.5% over 20 days of less cases of COVID in restaurants, I would say, to me, that's abysmal failure, because that means 99.5% of the people had no difference. So I'm looking at the larger number that did not respond, and you're looking at the tiny infinitesimal number that did. So it's just the way politics are played in the sciences. And by the way, I'm going to do a whole hour with one of the world's leading authorities, an emeritus professor. He is an extraordinarily talented person in his field, and does he excoriate science. I'm saving a whole hour next Tuesday on the Progressive Commentary for a person you've never heard of, but he finally came forward. He is as orthodox as you get, and he just deconstructs everything that we're told is good science, real science, and shows that it's fabricated and manipulated science. So that's what we're dealing with. All right? We're dealing with manipulated science. But I thank you very much on what you're suggesting. You know, we believe that a person should call in. I don't censor anyone. You share your point of view. People can agree or disagree in part or whole. But that's what freedom of speech means today. Thank you, Lincoln. Okay, let us now. Oh, the other person dropped out. Well, if you'd like to respond on this, I'd like to hear what you had to think about them trying to change the terms that we can no longer use mom or dad. Because once they say you cannot use boyfriend, girlfriend, mom or dad, and they got a whole lot of other things you can't use, then they want to criminalize it. What happens when by law you can't say something? Well, that's serious. Okay? And all that is coming. I want to share a few thoughts with you now. And I also want to share thoughts from Chris Hedges. We are controlled by a relatively small group of oligarchs. All the studies show that. They have the power. After all, it's not just their personal wealth, which has almost doubled since the COVID in just a year, but it's also the power they wield to form public opinion. Facebook, Twitter, Google, Wikipedia, they can either praise you or demonize you. They can destroy careers, or they can completely erase, censor. In effect, they can keep your truth from ever being known. So they control the dialogue, and hence, whoever controls the dialogue controls our perception of reality. So the established ruling elites, according to Chris Hedges, know there's a crisis. Well, we all know there's a crisis. They agreed, at least temporarily, to throw money at it with, what was it, $1.9 trillion? How much of that $1.9 trillion went for infrastructure? In my opinion, one of the most important things we could do to help our country recover. Take a look. Look at the high-speed transit in Germany, Italy, France, Japan, and China. We have zero. Nothing. In fact, we spent billions of dollars to build a little patch of something out in California that's meaningless. All corruption. Everybody's got their hand in there, especially if they're politically connected. We have none. Think of universal health care, where no matter who you are or what your status is, any injury, you get a tooth knocked out, you got an abscess, you got cancer, you should be able to go into a hospital, a public hospital, and have the best medical systems available, treat you, and walk out of that hospital owing nothing to anyone. Now, that would be the humanitarian thing to do. That would be the right thing to do. And yet, no matter who controls Congress, no matter how much power, the pharmaceutical industry wields more power. They don't want that. The insurance industry doesn't want it. The insurance industry makes over $1 trillion profit per year. Everybody's got money invested and getting a huge amount of money out of it. So your legislators are not doing anything on your behalf. So imagine what didn't get funded that could have. Infrastructure, repairing dams and levees, getting rid of nuclear power plants and getting more of the sustainable, like wave power and geothermal power that do not require precious metals being exploited out of Africa or South America to make, but not a penny for that. But the American Rescue Plan, this is the COVID-19, will not alter the structure inequalities. It will not raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour or imposing taxes and regulations on corporations or the billionaire class that saw its wealth increase a staggering $1.1 trillion that I mentioned a little while ago. The health system will remain privatized, meaning the insurance and pharmaceutical corporations will reap a windfall of tens of trillions of dollars of the ARP, and this when they are already making huge profits. The endless wars in the Middle East, the bloated military budget that funds them, will remain sacrosanct to Wall Street and the predatory global speculators that profit from the massive levels of debt peonage imposed on an underpaid working class. In effect, they're going to steal from the U.S. Treasury in our casino capitalism because they won't reinstate Glass-Steagall, separating savings loan banks from the venture capital banks. So everything will continue to funnel money upwards into the hands of that very small but very powerful oligarchical cabal. There'll be no campaign finance reform to end our system of legalized bribery. The giant tech monopolies will remain intact. The fossil fuel companies will continue to ravage the ecosystem. The militarized police, censorship imposed by digital media platforms, vast prison systems, harsher and harsher laws aimed at curbing domestic terrorism and dissent of any kind, and wholesale government surveillance will be, as they were before, the primary instruments of state control. So how fair is that? There is no fairness. But you and I are not sitting at the tables that negotiate where this money should go. But what happens to the majority of Americans who get government support for only a few months? What are they supposed to do with the checks when they stop arriving at the end of the year? Will the federal government orchestrate another massive relief package, giving most of that money to states that have been run in a crappy way, mismanaged by corruption and cronyism? No, nothing changes. So by refusing to address the root causes of America's rot, by failing to pump life back into the democratic institutions that once gave the citizen a voice, however limited, and make incremental and piecemeal reform possible, by not addressing the severe economic and social inequality and dislocation that affects at least half of our entire country, the rupture of the social bonds that gave rise to a demagogue like Donald Trump will expand. The American empire will not staunch its disintegration. The political deformities will metastasize. So what are we able to do about it? We have to demonstrate. We have to go out, go to the streets, and peacefully and intelligently let the world know that we can do better. But not if we continue to allow the same people, the same corporate structure and power and governance, the media complicity. So walk away from the media. Walk away from Time Magazine, New York Times, CNN. Walk away from all the media out there. Walk away from their banks. And let's start to take back some of this power that we've given them that they didn't earn. It's just a suggestion. So do we have Bill on? We have another call up here. Oh, Bill dropped. All right, so I'll take some calls when they come in. Interested in what you have to say. We're going to take a break and come right back. We're going to have a guest on right now. By the way, tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, I have Alex Mayer. We are going to talk about mandatory vaccines. We're going to really dissect Dr. Pan, who runs that whole medical legislative cabal out in California, who is responsible, the architect, for mandatory vaccines, and where he's going now with his ideas. That'll be tonight.
Now,
we're going to do a little classroom on the air. This is a little bit more in-depth than what we normally do with health and nutrition in the beginning. I'm going to start with something that can help everyone in the audience. It's about our immune function. And there's an ancient herb that has been used for a long time as a tonic to support our health and promote longevity. Scientists have identified what is called cistanchi, C-I-S-T-A-N-C-H-E, as rich in nutrients that promote increased development of T cells and natural killer cells. Now keep in mind, the more powerful natural killer cells floating in our body 24/7, the more likely we are to resist developing a cancer, because that's one of the body's first attacks against any cancer cell, is a natural killer cell. In this particular 12-week human study, using cistanchia extract, they found very promising results in stimulating a healthy immune system. And it helps support an already healthy inflammatory response, meaning it inhibits immune senescence, meaning when your immune system has not been fed, not been nourished, and is sick, diminished. This is generally in people of all ages, depending upon your diet, the amount of animal proteins, which is bad, how the proteins are cooked, like deep frying. You'll see a lot of the fish is deep fried and the chicken's deep fried. Bacon is heavily fried or grilled. All of these are toxic. They create inflammatory products. And that inflammation can be specific to an area of the body. For example, some people are very susceptible to having inflammation in their gut. And that's frequently people that consume coffee, which is highly anabolic and very destructive. Now, that's separate from the green coffee bean, unbrewed, that's rich in phytonutrients. The irony of it is you can use the green coffee bean supplements, help lose weight, it impacts metabolic activity in a good way, diabetic, pre-diabetic people, overweight people. But the moment you have that brew, even though we are a nation that's addicted to coffee, it's not good for us. In fact, I did my doctoral dissertation on caffeineism, including clinical studies on it as well. In any case, what you don't realize is that when you have allergic reaction to something, that allergic reaction may in part be due not to a fixed allergy, but cyclic, where your immune system is depressed. And my experience as a clinician has shown me, counseling tens of thousands of people, that when their immune system is suppressed, they're far more vulnerable to allergic responses. So what I do is I first look at the immune system, and you should. Twice a year, you should have an inexpensive blood chemistry workup that looks at all your immune modulators and tells you whether you're in balance or out of balance, whether you're high or low. And that tells us about our T cells and our natural killer cells. But also, it tells you how much you're at risk of immune senescence. Senescence means the end of a life cycle. So when you haven't fed, actively fed your heart, your brain, your gums, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, your musculature, your hair, then it prematurely ages. There's a biological clock ticking. So my suggestion is this, that you look for a standardized Cistanche. Again, Cistanche. You can get it in vegan capsules around, but the science is there. It can help your immune system. Boy, do we need something to help our immune system. Now, something else that helps a healthy attitude is dopamine. We know that we need dopamine. We know that we need dopamine produced in the brain. We need to have a balance between dopamine and serotonin. And unfortunately, the medical community takes it upon itself to say, well, you have a brain chemical imbalance. Not true. That's never been shown. There's no biological markers to prove that, and hence take our antipsychotic or antidepressant medication. And I feel that that's just medicine at its worst. But it's profitable, so they do it. But there is a lot of natural things you can do, getting out into nature, more green time, quality time. Living in New York City since I arrived, but also simultaneously living in the country almost as long as I've lived in the city, over a half a century, 50 years, I've had the benefit of spending quality time in New York, generally on the weekends. I'd go out to Lake Apakong, where I lived for a number of years, upstate for almost 15 years, at a farm, and be close to nature. Then living at a ranch, two different properties, Healing Springs Ranch, and then over to the villa. As a result, you're close to trees and shrubs and butterflies and bees. You're close to the beautiful clean air and the wind that you can breathe in. Nothing like sitting under a tree with animals surrounding you on a warm summer afternoon. I've done it thousands of times. In fact, my brother was an animal whisperer. I mean, the real McCoy. And when I would get in animals that had been abused and they were rescued maybe from a game farm, so the animals were there to be killed by hunters who would buy the latest rifles, scopes, fatigues, and two or three of them go out in a pickup truck and pay thousands of dollars to kill an innocent, sentient being that's just there living in that moment, chewing grass, and then have their head cut off and a taxidermist mounted. What goes on in someone's mind that they have such a disrespect for life they could do that? But they do it. In any case, Howard, let's say we got in, this is a true story, we got in some an animal preserve that was a hunter's preserve had gone bankrupt. Good. Glad that happened. But they were just going to let the animal starve to death and or have a vet come in and kill him. So we got him, brought him up. This is in Texas. And we must have had 40 animals, a lot of different species, but there were a lot of buffalo. And these are not tame buffalo. These are wild buffalo. And the biggest male, he was huge, well over a ton or thereabouts. Howard just walked right out into the field, stood there silently. That buffalo came right up to him and put his head right against Howard's thigh. Howard just petted him. And every day I'd see Howard out there in the field. We had like a 20-acre area just for the buffalo. And they had no predators. So the sun was their predator. So we made sun run in areas with water and healthy grazing grass. And he'd just be laying there. They'd be laying on the ground. He'd just be laying, you know, leaning back on him. Not something you try if you're not an animal whisperer. But it connects you. You realize there's a harmonizing bond between all of life. I've seen it thousands of times with animals. I saw it with one of the rescues of a little baby monkey that was a capuchin called Buddha. That was, his mother wasn't feeding him and he was dying. And this happens a lot, by the way, in nature. And when Buddha, and actually it would be funny to know that I had Buddha in my New York apartment and I'd have to change his diapers throughout the day and give him a bath at the end of the day when he was on a little teddy bear. And had a little pocket sewed on the middle of my chest. He would be down there. And then Sweetie came along. So the two of them, about a year apart, they're two little babies, never uttered a word throughout the day for the first year of life. But then when he started to grow, and he grew up around other animals at the animal sanctuary down in Florida, he loved the cat. He'd love to groom the dogs and cats. But the cats are rather indifferent. You know, you can't get them to do what you want. In any case, they're very independent. So I would watch him go to his food bowl, select a fruit, and throw it out of his little home to the cat. The cat would sniff it, be disinterested. He'd run back and get another one, and another one, another one. He would go through 20, 25 different items until the cat liked it. And then he would begin to throw them closer and closer to the enclosure. And then when they got up to the enclosure, he'd reach out and start to groom them. Well, after about a month, Sally, who, by the way, lived to be 26 and died from some stupidity of one of the key people when I was not here, but putting down some rat poison where they shouldn't have, never used it. We have a very easy way of dealing with rats. They're called cats, and they don't come around when the cats are there. In any case, you would see that she would go over every day to lay there so he could groom her. And he would spend an hour grooming her. So I've seen this relationship between different species of animals with each other and with humans. It's all about love. It's about trust. In any case, animals have different ways of de-stressing. And being free is one big way of de-stressing. Our goal is to get animals healthy, happy, and then into a wonderful, loving home for life where they have freedom. But one of the things that helps we humans who are frequently over-confined with all of our freedoms to small little living spaces is that we don't have good emotional balance. Dopamine is one of the most important neurotransmitters in your brain. It's called the feel-good or the pleasure neurotransmitter. But it's also central to many different aspects of cognitive functioning, including the central role of motivation. And as we age, the activity of an enzyme called monoamine oxidase, B, increases and MOAB breaks down dopamine, reducing vital dopamine levels. So what's one of the ways that we can increase dopamine? Philodendron, P-H-E-L-L-O-D-E-N-R-D-R-O-N, philodendron. The tree bark, it inhibits MOA enzyme in vitro. So get your philodendron extract of the bark and see if that can help you with your mood. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.
All right, that should work.
Okay, all right.